On a night 2,000 years ago, far from home and far from comfort, a child was born in a stable. While nearby shepherds spoke with angels and wise men followed a star, there was hope of finding a savior, someone to make sense of the chaos, someone who could bring peace to a world filled with turmoil. Thousands of years later, people still search for peace of mind. They look in vain for something or someone who could turn chaos into calm. They search for that one silent night when all is calm and all is bright. Long ago, the wise men found what they sought in a manger, a little one who would be a prince of peace, one who would look at the storms that raged and say, "Peace, be still." Maybe this Christmas peace is closer than you think. Maybe it's right in front of you. Maybe it's time for you to experience a silent night.
You're like me, but I love Christmas time. I love the Christmas classics. I love the Christmas carols. I wasn't always that way. I really became a Christmas fanatic after I got married because my wife is Mrs. Christmas. I mean, she loves Christmas. I mean, November 1st, our tree is up. And it is like, it is, we get, you know, most people get like a month of Christmas celebration. We get like 2 to 2.5, almost 3 months of Christmas celebration because, you know, it comes down sometime in the middle of January. And we just, you know, we love the Christmas. And she has turned us all into Christmas fanatics. I mean, my son, last July, we're driving down the street, July, summer, surfers, beaches. And he's like, can we sing Jingle Bells again? I mean, just all year long, just loves it. I just love everything about Christmas now. I love the food. I love the music. I love the lights. I love the food. I love the presents. I love the food. I love the, you know, I mean, it's just an incredible time, the Christmas season. We have all of our Christmas traditions now. My wife has got me into some of the funnest traditions where we get, you know, we get our Christmas pajamas. Every year we got to get a brand new set of pajamas, our Christmas pajamas they're called, and we wear them on Christmas Eve, and we get our hot chocolate, and we talk about Christmas and sit around the fire, and it's just a beautiful tradition. And it, you know, I'm so excited about this year because I don't know if you've seen the news, but Bear Grylls has a whole new survival line of knives that just came out, and I'm praying I get the entire set. I want the survival knife, I want the hatchet, I want all the tools. I want everything he makes because in case I ever get stranded in the middle of Africa or Antarctica, I want to be able to survive. I don't know why. I mean, I live in North County. It's not like I can even bring my knife if I do go because you can't get it on the airplane, but I'm just kind of a closet redneck at heart, and I'm just looking for my knives. I just want my knives for Christmas. I mean, if you ever need to build a fire out of a knife, you can do it out of his knife. I mean, I saw the commercial. It's possible. I don't know how I got sidetracked off, but I'm just praying for the whole set this Christmas. Get the whole Bear Grylls set of knives. Anyway, let me get into the message. So we wanted to do a series on the Christmas classics and take the different carols and talk about them this morning. And you really can't do a series on the Christmas classics without doing probably the most classic Christmas carol of all, Silent Night. It's the traditional Christmas Eve song, the beautiful candlelit service with the lights and the church, and it's so peaceful and it's so heavenly, you know, sleep and heavenly peace, Silent Night. The only problem was, it's anything but true. I mean, how many of you know, if you read the story of Christmas, it was anything but a silent night. It was anything but peace. It was anything, I mean, it was one of the most stressful times. You think Christmas is stressful today? Imagine what Mary and Joseph went through on the very first Christmas. I mean, let's just break down the story and look at that a little bit. First off, you got the Israeli IRS after them. They're having to travel to pay taxes. How many know, anytime you have to pay taxes, that's not peaceful. That's stress when you have to pay taxes. You have no idea what you're going to owe, and it's just a very stressful time paying taxes. So here they are traveling to pay taxes, and not only do they have to pay taxes, but they've got to travel to do it. And I don't know if you're like me. I love being places, but I hate to travel. I mean, I don't like the airports. I don't like the security. I don't like going through all the issues. And not only are they traveling, but they're having to do it by car. I mean, if you've ever traveled cross country by car, it is the most boring. I mean, it's just, you know, line after, I mean, everything gets blurred, you know, especially when you've got kids. Ever travel with kids before? When are we there yet? When are we there yet? When are we there yet? When are the whole trip? And it's just not the most peaceful time. But not only are they traveling cross country, but they're doing it by camel. I mean, think about that, folks. I know, excuse me, donkey. I mean, they're traveling by donkey. I mean, it's not even a car. They're sitting on a donkey, and now they're traveling. And I really have no right to talk about this at all, but not only are they traveling by donkey, she's pregnant. I mean, she is pregnant, riding on a donkey for days, traveling to pay taxes. What is Silent Night about that? I mean, that is peace. That is not peaceful. That is stressful. That is exhausting. That is tiring. Then when they finally get to town to pay tax, there's no hotel. I mean, they are literally staying in a manger. Staying in a little stable. I don't even know. They're staying in a stable. And I know we love the sight of it in our nativity scenes and on the coffee table and at home. But how many know it was anything but a silent night? In Luke chapter 2, we see the actual story. It says, and while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a delivery room with a baby being born, but that is not silent night. That is not sleep in heavenly peace. If you've ever met my son, he is probably the most energetic little dude I've ever met in my life. Never stops moving, always on the move, always into something. And he wasn't just like that alive. He was like that. He would literally run laps inside of my wife when she was pregnant. I mean, he would grab one rib on one side and put his feet on the other rib on the other side and try to stretch her rib cage apart as much as he could. I mean, he was a lot of work. And then when it came time for the delivery and the birth, I mean, it was anything but sleep and heavenly peace. I mean, he decided to run around and get tied up in the umbilical cord, and then he got stuck and couldn't get out, and all of a sudden, doctors are rushing in the room, and I'm passing out and getting a bloody nose, and they're taking a vacuum suction cup and sticking it to his head, and I mean, it was not sleep in heaven. And I know it's a beautiful song. I love this song. I'll sing the song the rest of my life, but let's be real, folks. It wasn't that peaceful this very first Christmas. She gave birth to her first son, a son. She wrapped him in snuggly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And you know, that is the most beautiful story to read on Christmas Eve, sitting with your family, drinking hot chocolate. The lights on the Christmas tree are glowing. The fireplace is going. But, you know, and it's just great reading, but it was anything but peaceful. It was anything but silent night. And I used to wonder, why in the world would God allow the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, to be born in such chaotic, stressful, noisy, dirty, filthy circumstances? And I thought, you know, it's probably because God wanted to relate to our chaos from day one. God wanted to relate to the stress that we go through, the experiences we have in life, the chaos that we have to deal with in the world that we live in. Because how many know, sometimes life is tough. I don't know about you, but sometimes life gets chaotic. Sometimes life gets stressful. Sometimes life gets a little bit overwhelming to deal with. And I think God from day one wanted us to know, I get it. I get it. I'll relate to you. I don't need to come in a beautiful hospital with chariots and horses and a military parade. I'm going to come in a lowly manger in a little stable in a tiny town of Bethlehem because he gets it. He gets it. And that's the way he was born. And that's that. I mean, how many of you would agree that not only was this very first Christmas pretty stressful, pretty chaotic, how many would say most Christmases are pretty stressful and pretty chaotic? I don't know any other time during the year where people experience more stress than during Christmas time. I mean, I don't know any time during the year where couples fight more. I mean, we're fighting over budgets because how many know every family is going to go over budget at Christmas time? And you might as well just not even fight about it, is it just my family, or do we all kind of get a little crazy during Christmas time? I mean, it's stressful, it's exhausting, you've got in-laws, you've got everything going on. I've got wonderful in-laws, but I've heard stories. You know, I watch Everyone Loves Raymond. It can be a little stressful at times dealing with in-laws. And you got all this chaos, all this stress, and we sit here and we sing songs like, sleep in heavenly peace. And I begin to wonder, is it possible? Is it possible to have that kind of peace? Is it possible to truly have a silent night in the world we live in? You know, Jesus predicted our culture. Jesus predicted, you know, the stress of our society and the life. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, Jesus says, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled with carousing and drunkenness. You know, what is drunkenness really all about? When you become a drunk, you're basically saying, I give up. I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired. I can't take it anymore. I give up. And by the worries of this life, anyone ever experienced the worries of this life? You know, the stress, life being overwhelming, financial pressure, family pressure, sickness. I mean, all sorts of things that become so overwhelming. And Jesus says, don't let the day catch you unaware. I mean, the society, the generation, the culture we live in, Jesus summed it up. It's stressful. It'll make you want to give up. It'll make you want to worry. It'll make you have anxiety. And you know, the worries of this life, you know, I realize there's probably more of them, but I summed it up in three primary worries that I think most of us deal with. First one we're going to talk about in your notes is when circumstances are uncontrollable. How many know that brings a lot of stress, especially if you're a man? Because how many know men, we like to control things. We don't like to be in uncontrollable circumstances. Ever done air travel during the holidays? Ever been at the mercy of weather and flights and planes and pilots and stewardess? I mean, no, you can be put in some pretty uncontrollable circumstances that just stress you out. The captain comes on. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be going back to the gate after we sit on the runway for 4 hours. When you get back to the gate, there's going to be a gate agent that'll tell you what hotel you're staying at because the flight's not going to go out tonight. I mean, it's pretty uncontrollable. I mean, I get on the phone, I call American Airlines, like, hey, it's me. You know, like you should be ready for me. I mean, out of everyone on the flight, take care of me. And it's just uncontrollable. I get stressed out. My wife says, you can't do anything about it. I know, but there's got to be something I can do about it. And we just fight. You get in these uncontrollable circumstances and you want to control them. You want to figure it out. You just give me 3 steps and do it. And it just, sometimes life, there's uncontrollable circumstances. You know what I'm talking about? How many ever dealt with the next one? When people are unbearable. You know, wouldn't life be great sometimes without people? You know, that you just pull onto the freeway in the middle of rush hour, if all the cars would just part for you. Like, listen, I am here, I'm on the freeway. If all the cars would just pull over and make room for me, it would make my life a lot easier without having to deal with all these people getting in my way. I mean, you know, sometimes people are unbearable. Sometimes life, you know, is uncontrollable. What about the last one? What about when problems are unexplainable? That's probably the toughest one we deal with, when problems are unexplainable. The why God. Why God would you allow this to happen to me? Why God am I experiencing this? Why God am I going through this? When problems are just unexplainable, I can't figure it out. Why God? Why am I dealing with this? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand. Why God? And sometimes it's those unexplainable problems that bring the greatest stress to our life, the greatest anxiety to our life, the greatest worry and fear to our life. So the question is, can we, with all of our problems and all of our stresses and all the chaos that we have to live in the world today, can we truly find a silent night? Can we truly get to the point where we sleep in heavenly peace? Well, this morning I want to say not only is it possible, but it's the very reason why we celebrate Christmas. The very reason God gave his son, Jesus Christ, as our very first Christmas gift was not only so that we could sing sleep in heavenly peace, but we can actually have silent nights. We can actually have peace in our life. Isaiah says it like this. Isaiah 9, chapter 6, when he sums up the whole meaning of Christmas, when he sums up the whole meaning of why God gave us a Savior. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says, for a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Anyone ever had an internal problem that you just needed a wonderful counselor to help you make sense of? You got emotions inside all mixed up and tied in knots, and you just needed somebody to help you make a little bit sense out of life? Well, he was a wonderful counselor. Isaiah says he's a mighty God. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, I don't need just a God. I need a mighty God. I need a God that is mighty enough to help me through this giant trial, mountain, circumstance, whatever I'm dealing with. Sometimes I don't need just a God. I need a mighty God. Isaiah says he's an everlasting father. You know, sometimes I need someone that's everlasting. I need a father that'll be there tomorrow, somebody that'll be consistent, that'll love me, that'll care for me, that'll take care of the need I have in my life. Sometimes I need that everlasting father. I need it all the time. And then Isaiah says the last part of verse 6 is he's a prince of peace. Let me ask you, when's the last time you needed peace? When's the last time you needed to have a silent night where you're not up all night worrying, you're not dealing with anxiety, you're not stressed out? When's the last time you really needed to sing that line, sleep in heavenly peace and have a silent night? Well, let's talk about that because, you know, there's so many people this Christmas who are going to leave the most important Christmas gifts under the tree unopened. They're not going to receive the most important gift of Christmas, which is the Prince of Peace. Jesus says it like this in John chapter 14, 27. I'm leaving you with a gift. Jesus is giving you a gift this Christmas. There is a present for you wrapped up under the tree directly from Jesus. I'm leaving you a gift. Peace of mind and heart. How many of you need peace of mind? and the stress of life and the chaos of what we have to deal with every day here on planet Earth. How many of you need peace of mind and heart? And Jesus goes on to say, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. See, your family can't give you this gift. They can't wrap it up and put it under the tree. The only one that can wrap it up and put it under the tree is Jesus. He says, I'm giving you a gift, peace of mind. And unfortunately, there's so many people going to leave that gift unopened this year. Leave the gift sitting there. Let's talk about, you know, how we get peace of mind. I searched peace of mind on the internet, and you find some pretty funny things of what the world thinks peace of mind. The first thing was a Buddhist temple. You know, you got to get that Zen-like state to get peace of mind. And how many know you can't do it through your own effort? Either God gives you peace or you don't get it, but meditation is not going to bring you peace. It is a gift of God that you can't get of your own effort. The next thing I saw on Google when you search peace of mind was home security system. That'll give you peace of mind. Getting the home security system of your dreams. You know, I saw the next one was funeral services. That didn't give me peace of mind at all. That made me a little bit afraid. Like, am I going to die? I don't know. You know, then there was another one. Let me read. There was perfume called peace of mind. You know, spray this perfume on, you get peace of mind. Hypnosis was another thing on the search engine. And the last one I thought was the funniest was a plumbing warranty. That's exactly what I need, is peace of mind that my toilet's not going to break. I mean, no, that's not peace of mind. I want to take you to scripture. Let me give you a disclaimer this morning. I really wanted to make this message like all snazzy and cool and wow you with my intellectual ability. The problem is I'm just not that deep. I'm just not that, you know, I don't have that. And really what I did is I just went throughout the Bible and I looked at all the passages about God's peace. And there was five common themes I saw to get God's peace in your life, to get this gift of peace of mind, peace of heart, peace in your life, that silent night, sleep in heavenly peace. And they're really not that, you know, they're not that complex. They're not that difficult. They're pretty simple stuff. I'm pretty sure as I go through these with you that you're going to say, I know that. But the problem is sometimes we have such a hard time doing the simple. So let's get into it this morning and talk about how do we get peace of mind God's way? How do we have that peace where we can sleep and have an actual silent night in the middle of the chaos in the world that we deal with every day? First thing I want to talk about is accept God's pardon. Accept God's pardon. Some of you need forgiveness. Some of you need God to wipe your sin away as far as the east is from the west, and to know it's gone, to receive that grace, to not struggle with guilt and condemnation, because a lot of people are stressed out and worried because they're still dealing with guilt, they're still dealing with condemnation of something they did years ago that God has completely forgiven. And you're carrying it around when literally one drop of Jesus' blood was enough to cover all of it. And I read a story this week about a guy who committed a murder over 30 years ago and just could not live with the guilt anymore, that he literally walked into a police station and said, I did it. Because he couldn't walk around with that guilt, that weight of what he did anymore. And I think there's so many believers like that, walking around with this heavy weight of guilt, this heavy weight of condemnation, feeling like they're dirty, feeling like they're broken, feeling like they're messed up, because they haven't truly experienced the forgiveness of God in their life. They haven't accepted the pardon of Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says it like this. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith. We have been made right. What does that mean? It means you are righteous when you become a believer. When you accept Christ by faith, your new last name becomes righteousness. My name is Aaron Righteousness. The reason I have my last name is because I was born into that family. When I was born into Christ, I got a new last name, and that last name was Righteousness. I didn't earn it. I didn't work for it. I didn't do enough right things to get it. I got it by grace from Christ. He made me right in God's sight by faith. And then what does Paul says in Romans 5? He says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Do you want peace with God? Do you want to get a break from the chaos and the stress and have that silent night? First thing you're going to have to do is accept your righteousness. Accept that gift of grace. Understand that his blood was good enough for you. That he shed his life to give you righteousness, to give you grace, to totally forgive you, to wipe your sin away as far as the east is from the west. That's the gift. See, God loves that. God loves to give. God's favorite part of the day is letting you off the hook. Seriously, God, there's nothing God loves more than pouring out his grace on you. There's nothing God loves more than forgiving you. There's nothing that God loves more than completely wiping all of your sins away. Micah chapter 7 and verse 18 says it like this. Where is another God like you? There isn't any other God like you who pardons the guilt of the remnant, overlooking the sins of his special people. You will not stay angry with your people forever because you delight in showing unfailing love. I'd love to have unfailing love. I mean, so many times in this life, we experience failing love. We experience heartache from people that were supposed to love us. And we have a God that will show us unfailing love, a God that delights in pardoning us and forgiving us and making us righteous. It's his favorite part of the day is showing you his grace. I really can't explain the next one. So the first one is accept God's pardon. This one I can't really explain. I'm going to do my best. It's something that you really have to experience. But number two is recognize God's presence. Recognize God's presence. See, at Coastline, we have a goal on our Sunday experience. And our goal with our Sunday experience is at least for 1 second on Sunday, some point for at least a moment that you would experience the presence of God. Because I'm telling you, 1 second in God's presence is better than 1,000 good sermons from me because I just don't preach that good. And I know 1 second of the presence of God would do far more than all of man's wisdom, all of my good sermons, everything else. 1 second in the presence. And you know what the truth is? The truth is it rarely happens during my preaching. The majority of the time people experience the presence of God, it's during worship. It's during worship because worship is a time it's all about God. We're giving all the glory to him. We're focusing on him. We're worshiping him. We're singing about him. We're refocusing our life. Isaiah says it like this in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Do you want perfect peace in your life? Do you want that break, that silent night in the middle of your chaos and stress? He says, you'll give perfect peace to everyone that trusts in you and whose hearts and minds are fixed on you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Well, how do you fix your thoughts on him? Well, the greatest way to do it is worship. So when we worship, when we sing to God, when we worship him through the music on Sunday morning and worship him in your car, or listening to a CD or just by yourself singing to God, what are you doing? You're fixing your thoughts on him. See, worship helps you fix your thoughts on God. When you're singing about how great God is and how good God is and how loving God is, you're fixing your thoughts on him. You're getting a new perspective. You're getting a new focus in your life. And he says, I'll give perfect peace to those who fix their thoughts on me. God's saying, fix your thoughts on me. I'll give you perfect peace. So number one, you accept God's pardon. The second thing is get in God's presence. Just get, for once, see, I really pray about this every week. And I pray that every Sunday for at least just a moment, you'd feel the presence of God. You would be in the presence of God, even if it's just a second. Because I know 1 second of God's presence can radically change your life. That's what it's all about. Feeling God's presence, getting into God's presence. Third thing I want to talk about is obey God's principles. Obey God's principles. For some of you right now, the chaos you're experiencing, the stress you're experiencing, is because of choices you've made. That's the truth. You cut a corner somewhere. You cut a corner spiritually, biblically. You know what the Bible says, and you're telling yourself, well, you know, that's not for me. That was written 2,000 years ago. I like this part of the Bible, but I don't like this part of the Bible. And some of the chaos and the stress that a lot of people are experiencing is because they're not obeying the principles of God's word. They're not following Scripture. They know they're cutting a corner somewhere, and you know you're doing it. I know when I do it, that I cut that corner and think that I can get away with it. And guess what? I never get away with it. God always brings it back to me. God always reveals it to me. God always puts me in check over it. Obey his principles. Psalm chapter 119, verse 165, it says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Great peace. Those who love your instruction have great peace and do not stumble. This book was written for today as much as it was written for yesterday. living by this book, following the principles, following this book, every word, obeying it, you'll have great peace. You're not going to stumble. It'll bring you great peace in your life. Number four, it's probably the hardest one. Trust God's plan. Trust God's plan. And the reason this is the hardest one for most of us is because of that first word, trust. I mean, trust. I mean, God, if you would just tell me what your plan is, it'd be so much easier. And he says, no, just trust me. See, that's the problem that we have with trusting God is he doesn't tell us what he's going to do. If he told us what he was going to do, it'd be a lot easier to trust him. I mean, our minds are so curious. We want to figure it out. We want to know, God, what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? And he doesn't tell you. I said, God, if you would just let me in with what you are doing, it would be so much easier to trust you. And God says, no, trust me and just know that I know what I'm doing. Know that I'm going to take care of it. Know that I know what I'm doing. You don't need to worry about it. I got it under control. Just trust me. I mean, that's the hardest part about trust is not knowing. Not knowing. Remember when you were a kid? Remember back when you were 8 years old, you'd wake up in the morning and you'd run to the breakfast table and there'd be that bowl of Fruit Loops just waiting for you. And you just knew it'd be waiting for you. You didn't have to worry about it. You didn't have any stress. You didn't have any anxiety. You had such peace at that age because you'd get up every morning, you'd run to the breakfast table and there'd be your Fruit Loops waiting for you. And then when you grow up and you start to understand things and you realize somebody's got to go get a job, somebody's got to work, somebody's got to go to the grocery store, somebody's got to pay for those Fruit Loops. How many understand? It gets a lot stressful the more you know. And I think that's the way God is sometimes. Listen, don't try to figure it out. Just trust me. Your life would be a lot easier if you just trusted me. If you didn't try to figure it out and you didn't try to know it all and you didn't try to have to, you know, figure out, you'd be so much more peaceful if you would just trust me and not try to figure out what I'm doing. Just know that I know what I'm doing. Just know that I have a plan and just trust me. Like when you were 8 years old, I didn't have to stress over whether or not my Fruit Loops would be waiting for me. I just woke up. I had peace. I knew they'd be there. But as I grew up, the more I began. And so one of my goals now is to know less and trust more. I mean, I almost want to understand less and just trust more because sometimes it's a lot easier to be naive and at peace than it is to know everything and be stressed out. And sometimes somebody asks me a question now and Pastor, can you explain this? And sometimes I say, well, I don't know. Just trust God. He's got it in control. He loves you. He'll take care of you. Just trust God. You'll have a lot more peace. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says it like this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Even if you didn't get it, it doesn't matter. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 4, 11 and 12. He says, for I've learned how to be content. What is he saying? I've learned to be at peace. I've learned not to be stressed out, to be completely content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. What was Paul saying? I just trust him. I just trust him. I know he's going to take care of it. I know if I have stuff today, great. If I don't have anything, great. God's going to take care of me. And then the last thing, I want to talk about. First thing we talked about, if you want to have a silent night, you got to learn to accept God's pardon to get his peace. You got to learn how to experience his presence, you know, focus your thoughts and minds on him. Worship is a great tool to do that. Third thing is obey his principles, follow his word. You know, his word is there for a reason. You obey his principles, your life will be blessed. Fourth thing is trust, the hardest thing, trust. He may not tell you why, he may not tell you what he's doing, trust. And then the last thing I want to talk about when I was studying about peace and how we get God's kind of peace is ask for God's provision. Ask for God's provision. Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, Paul says it like this. Don't worry about anything. Don't be stressed out. You can have peace, Paul is saying. Don't worry. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done, then you will experience God's peace. See, the goal this morning is to help you experience God's peace. Why? Because that's the only way you're going to have a silent night. And Paul's saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't just tell God what you need and thank him for what he's doing. Don't worry about anything else. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Ask him for his provision. He wants to provide. He wants to take care of you. He wants to love you. He wants to help you with everything you need in life. Ask him for his provision. Ask him for his provision. Then you will have God's peace. My goal this morning is to help you as a body of believers be able to sing that song in integrity and actually live and feel that song. Sleep in heavenly peace. To have God's peace in your life, which all of us desire, which all of us long for, which all of us, how many are tired of the chaos? How many are tired of the stress? How many of you just want to have a silent night and not be up all night long worrying? These are five simple steps from God's word on how you can have his peace. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me today. Before we close, let me ask anyone here that first one, more than any of them, applies to you, because it's really the first step, accepting God's pardon, putting God first, saying yes to Jesus Christ, making him the Savior of your life, taking that very first Christmas gift that God gave you. For some of you, that's number one, because the truth is today, you don't feel right with God. You don't feel like your relationship with God is what it needs to be or where it needs to be. I'm not saying that, you know, you're a Christian and you're trying. I'm saying that you're away from God, plain and simple. You are away from God, and you need to accept his pardon and come back to him. Or you need to say yes to him for the very first time, whatever situation you're in. Wherever you're at, whatever situation you're in, if you need to say yes to God this morning to put him first, to make him number one in your life, with every eye closed and every head bowed, I'd like an opportunity to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you to make the very first and most important decision you'll ever make, to put God first, to accept the gift of Jesus Christ, your Savior. I mean, what a better time to do it than Christmas, to get the greatest Christmas gift the world's ever known, the gift of God's own Son in your life, to have that kind of peace with you. So if that's you this morning, you need to say yes to God, whether for the first time or you need to come back to him, because today you're away from God, you're not right with God, and you need to come back to him this morning. He's waiting. I said God can't wait to show you love. He loves to show you love. He loves to show you grace. He loves to forgive you. That's the favorite part of his day, is being able to forgive you and love you. So it doesn't matter how far you've walked away from God, he's waiting to love you right now. He's waiting to accept you. He's waiting to welcome you back. So if you need to say yes to God, to put him first in your life this morning, whether coming back to him or for the very first time, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you raise your hand right now? Raise your hand right now for me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.